You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Okay, let's get it. Locked On LSU, your team every day. I'm Matt Moscona, ESPN Radio Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria, CST. And right here for the Locked On LSU podcast, we visit with LSU skipper Paul Maneri. Also, Kendall Rogers of D1 Baseball on the LSU coaching search. We'll get into all of that. Let's start, though, with some news that has been oft discussed and a decision that had been much anticipated, which is now final. Eric Gilbert will not be returning to LSU. He tells Dogs247 that he will, in fact, enroll at Georgia. So, if you go back through the quick timeline, back in December, opted out before the Florida game. A few weeks later, announced he was transferring out of the LSU program, would later announce a transfer to Florida, decommitted from Florida, never enrolled, decommitted from Florida, decided to take his time. He did take a visit back to LSU. Ed Ogeron said that they'd left the door open for a return for Eric, should he want to do that. But now we see that Gilbert will head closer to home. Just as a refresher, reminder, my stance on this all along has been very consistent, and I've told you from the beginning that Eric Gilbert has some very real and legitimate family issues going on, personally within his family, that they need to take care of, that might be better for him to be closer to his home in Marietta. When Eric initially opted out, and Ed Ogeron said it was because his body hurt and that his mother was coming in from Georgia, typically, parents don't drive from Georgia to Baton Rouge in a feeling like it's an emergent situation because a football player's body hurts. Ogeron would later say that their concern was for Eric and they had some personal issues to take care of, which is true. And, you know, for me, the only surprise ever in this was that Gilbert committed to Florida, because it always felt like he would end up closer to home and that might be better for the young man. Now, strictly from a football perspective, if you're LSU, clearly you'd rather see Eric Gilbert go to Georgia than to Florida. At Georgia, the only way you play him is if you both end up in the SEC championship game. So let him go to Georgia. Hopefully he gets everything in order he needs to, personally, within his family, and it allows him to continue his career. He stays healthy and has a great, successful career at Georgia and beyond. Had he gone to Florida, you'd be playing him this year and next year, and that's not a great option. So better that he be at Georgia than at Florida or a place where you are guaranteed to see him. Now, as for LSU at the tight end spot, of course, Cole Taylor was a freshman last year with Gilbert, and he certainly has potential to continue growing in that 6'7 frame to see what may become of it. Now, Nick Storrs, the converted baseball player, is also on LSU's roster as a tight end. The Tigers also signed Jalen Sheed in this most recent signing class. So they have an incoming freshman at tight end. And I'll remind you that Aaron Moffitt is back as well. And you know, Aaron had played a good bit as mostly an H-back blocker on the championship team in 2019, but missed all of last year with a torn ACL. So the Tigers do have they have bodies at tight end, but not necessarily anything even remotely resembling what they have or had in Eric Gilbert, who's the highest rated tight end in the history of 247 Sports. So, but if you're LSU, and you know, Ed Ogeron, by the way, on Tuesday was a guest on Off the Bench with Hester and T-Bob. And the guys asked him, you know, which freshman had showed up and looked particularly good. Listen to his answer.
You know, I'm really impressed with a lot of them, but Chris Hilton has been very impressive. So has Malik Nabers. So is Brian Thomas, and so is Jack Beck.
He mentioned four players, all of them pass catchers. Needless to say, you have Kayshawn Boutte and Coy Moore and a guy like Dre Jenkins coming back for his senior year and all these freshmen coming in. Yes, of course, you'd love to have Eric Gilbert at the tight end spot, but LSU certainly is not lacking for very talented pass catchers. So Gilbert will continue his career at the University of Georgia. That LSU chapter is now closed, and the 2021 Tigers can move on knowing now that they will not have Eric Gilbert in the fold. All right, it is the Locked On LSU podcast. We're brought to you by Rock Auto and rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Shop them online. It's where they've been for 20 years, an online family-operated business at rockauto.com. Every part for every make and model you could ever need, even things like motor oil and windshield wipers and carpet and carburetors. They got it all. From a Fiat to a Ferrari, they've got it at rockauto.com. When you get to check out, make sure you write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Again, amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. So the Baseball Tigers are heading up to Eugene today, Wednesday. We'll let you hear from Paul Mainieri momentarily. Of course, if you want to bet on all your sports action, betonline.ag is the best place to do it. Betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. BetOnline, fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Of course, Major League Baseball season in full swing. The NBA playoffs cruising along as the opening round is coming to a close now. NHL playoff action, all your UFC or MMA action, professional golf, really any sport in the world you want to wager on, you can do it at betonline.ag. Safe, secure, fast, and easy. It's betonline.ag, free to sign up, desktop or mobile. And when you make your first deposit of funds, be sure that you use the code LOCKEDON, one word, LOCKEDON, to get your 50% welcome bonus on that first deposit. It's at betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Of course, on Friday, Paul Mainieri announced that this would be his final season in Baton Rouge, and we had the good fortune to visit with LSU's head coach before they were wheels up to Eugene, Oregon. We talked a lot about his plans for this regional, but I started by asking what the reaction he has gotten since Friday.
Well, people have just been so kind, honestly. Matt, it's been a very emotional few days, as you might imagine. I've heard from so many former players, just associates. It's run the gamut, really. Just I've heard from people that I haven't heard from in years. And I think at last count, I probably had close to 600 text messages, emails, phone calls. It's going to take me forever to reply to everybody, so I hope everybody is patient. But it's really been overwhelming just to hear back from people that, if you got one email or text message, it would bring tears to your eyes. And I've just had so many of them. I really don't feel I'm worthy of the nice comments that people have said to me, but it obviously makes you feel good. And if you've made an impact, then I feel like, it kind of validates what I've done for my lifetime of work, and that makes you feel good.
Well, Coach, when the time's right, we'll have plenty of time to have you on, and we'll talk plenty about your career and go deep dive into all that. The most important thing right now is you got games to get ready for this weekend. I'm curious, heading up to the Pacific Northwest again, I want to talk about some of the pitching and some of the plan, but I remember when you all went there in 2018, variables always change, right? And didn't you all, like, have to pack warm weather or cold weather gear that you hadn't had in so long? Are there any variables that you all are accounting for going up to Eugene?
Yeah. If you look at the Weather Channel, you'll see that the high, I think, on Sunday is 62 degrees, and the evenings are going to be down in the 40s. What is it? What is it? When we don't host a regional, we always get sent to the furthest destination that you possibly can be sent to.
Do you have a theory?
I have no idea. But we haven't hosted a regional three times, and we've been sent to L.A., Corvallis, Oregon, and now Eugene, Oregon.
Yeah.
I thought we might get sent to Ruston, Louisiana, but they sent Alabama there instead. Yep. I don't understand, but I'm not complaining. Hey, I'm just glad we're still playing and the season is still going on, and it's going to be a nice adventure. The field is a strong field. Everybody wants to talk about Oregon, but I'm not even thinking about the University of Oregon. I'm thinking only about Gonzaga. You know, their basketball team almost won the national championship this year, but their baseball team is something to be very concerned with. They've got an outstanding starting pitcher that we'll be facing, pitched a no-hitter earlier this year against Pepperdine. And he's got his numbers are very gaudy. And fortunately, we have a really good pitcher that we'll pitch against them, Landon Marceau. Okay. But it's going to be a battle, Friday night, and we've got to be ready for it.
is so Marceau will go on Friday. I was looking back in 2018 when you all played that 2-3 game in Corvallis and Nick Bush got the start. It was Bush and then Fontenot and then Todd Peterson. So I would assume the whole plan. We play the Todd Peterson drop every time we say his name, Coach.
Actually, I think it was Hess that started the middle game against Oregon State.
I'm sorry, I was talking the first game against San Diego State. Sorry if I said
that
Oregon
was
State.
Bush. It was Bush, and then Hess against Oregon State. Oh,
right.
Oh, you were talking about the whole rotation the
right.
first day. Yeah,
how it went in that first game. So you've obviously put an emphasis on winning the first game, clearly. Does the result of the first game determine what you will do in the second game?
Well, I'm hoping we'll win the first game,
right.
obviously. But, you know, we just got to take them one at a time. I've always looked at the regional as the first two games are of equal importance, because if you win the first two games, then somebody has to beat you twice. You're going to play a maximum of four games. But if you lose one of the first two games, to come back and win the tournament, you have to play five games. And you've got to come back and win four games as opposed to winning three games. So it's going to tax your pitching staff unbelievably if you lose one of the first two games. It's critical to win the first two games. Not impossible, but both games are important. And when you're the two or three seed, especially if you can see that the other team has a really outstanding starting pitcher, which Gonzaga does, you just can't mess around. You got to go with your guy, and you got to do everything you can do to win that game. And then, you know, if we're fortunate enough to win and we play, you know, hypothetically say Oregon beats Central Connecticut State, which is no gimme, of mm-hmm. course. You know, Central Connecticut State won their conference. I know their coach personally. He used to be the coach at Providence when I was at Notre Dame, and we were both in the Big East Conference, and he's an excellent coach, mm-hmm. a great guy named Charlie Hickey. I would not be at all surprised that they have a hard-nosed team that's very capable of beating Oregon. So I don't know who will be playing in game two, whether it's in the winner's bracket or loser's bracket, and which team you're going to play. So I'm not really sure who will pitch in game two and what the situation will be. So I'm really holding that close to the vest and just worrying about game one right now.
Paul Medary is our guest here for a couple of minutes. Do you have an update on Gio, on DiGiacomo, if he's going to be ready to go?
Yeah, as of right now, he's ready to go. He looks good. He's had a couple of good days of practice. We practiced Friday and Saturday, and then we practiced the last 2 days, and he's looked good, and he's ready to go.
There was much ado on social media about Will Saffer taking grounders at second base. Is there a plan maybe to get him in the mix?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
I don't go on social media, so it's amazing how things get out there.
Well, there was a video of him taking ground balls at second base over at the U High field yesterday. So there's just conversation. Oh. Is there a plan maybe to get him in the mix, or was that just video that was there at practice?
Well, I don't know, Matt. We'll have to wait till Friday night.
Oh, really? Okay. You know what? It'll be interesting. It's a guy who may, I don't know, got some experience playing on a turf field. Who knows? Could be. You know, whenever you play Tulane, you get to play on a turf field. Is ULL a turf field as well? Y'all
mm-hmm.
played there this year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, does that
Kentucky,
help?
And Kentucky was yep. all turf. So we had success there. We had success, you know, at Kentucky. We had success at ULL.
Okay.
So I think, you know, the turf field will be fine. You know, we're used to it now. You know, these kids are growing up now playing on turf fields all the time. You know, over in Atlanta, they have a facility called Lake Point where a lot of them have played. A lot of them have played in Hoover on the auxiliary fields that are turf fields. So, you know, whereas it used to be a unique situation, it's not so unique anymore. A lot of kids have played on artificial turf fields and a lot of colleges have them. So, I'm not concerned about it at all. Oregon's got a beautiful facility, and it's where we're going to play, and there's no excuses. We're going to be ready to go.
Coach, one more before you go. You did sort of allude. It's always interesting how familial the coaching profession is, right? I mean, you mentioned the Central Connecticut coach, how you coach against each other 20 years ago. And you obviously go through this every year with regionals, but is there any difficulty or change in scouting, maybe because of the lack of familiarity, whereas like in the SEC, you kind of, you know, the players, you know, the coaches, you know, the staffs. How does this week go for you and your staff scouting teams that maybe you haven't scouted at all this year?
Yeah, this is a unique weekend for me personally, Matt, because I've never coached against any of these three teams. Like when we went to Oregon State to, you know, in 18, I coached against all three of those teams, San Diego State, Oregon State, Northwestern State. It's very rare for me to find teams that I've never coached against. I haven't ever met two of the coaches. And I told you I met Charlie Hickey, but I mean, coached against him. But I've never met the coach from Gonzaga or the coach from Oregon. So it'll be unique. You know, we talk to coaches from other schools that have played them and try to get some input. There's also video of teams, you know, nowadays, they'll have lots of games of ours, obviously, from the SEC network or whatever. But there's a thing called Synergy that you can go into and pull up video from other teams. So we've watched some video of the starting pitcher that we'll be facing on Friday night. It's kind of a unique guy. He throws real cross. He's right-hander, real tall, throws across his body, doesn't throw real hard, and his curveball is really slow, but nobody hits the guy. I mean, their batting average against is under 200. He pitched a no-hitter earlier this year. I think he tops out at like 85, 86 miles an hour, and his curveball is like 63. But there's something that very deceptive about him that makes him very effective. He's had a great career for them, and so it's a little concerning to me. You know, why does nobody hit this guy? You know, his stuff is not overpowering at all. So, you know, it appears that he's really tough on right-handed hitters. And, you know, if we can get as many left-handed hitters in the lineup as we can, it might be to our benefit.
Our chat with Paul Maneri, interesting. He was a little coy there about Will Safford. And if you caught it, also talking about Gonzaga starter Alec Jacob. Paul Maneri saying he wants to get some lefties in the lineup. Don't be surprised if you see Will Safford in there at second base on Friday night against Gonzaga. It's another left-handed bat. We talked about it a little yesterday, but if your other options at second are Drew Bianco, Collier Cranford, or Zach Arnold, all three are righties. If he wants to get a left-handed bat in the lineup at second base, your shot to do it there would be Will Safford. And I have a sneaking suspicion Paul Maneri may just be playing a hunch there. So we'll see if it plays out that way. Okay, now, who replaces Paul Maneri when the inevitable happens after this season? We talked about that with Kendall Rogers of D1 Baseball. You'll hear his thoughts here in just a quick second. We're brought to you by Built Bar and BuiltBar.com. The best-tasting protein bar in the world is Built Bar. You can take my word for it, or you can just go to BuiltBar.com and try it for yourself. And, of course, we're helping you save money. When you go to BuiltBar.com, if you use the code LOCKED15, that's LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your order at BuiltBar.com. High protein, high fiber, low calorie, low sugar, gluten-free, perfect for keto. They have nut and nut-free options. Maybe you want to try the cherry or the raspberry, the mint brownie, the double chocolate, salted caramel. There's something for everyone, so find your favorite flavor right now at BuiltBar.com. Again, use the code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your first order at BuiltBar.com. So LSU's headed to the Eugene Regional, and whenever this season ends, it will also mean the end of Paul Maneri's coaching career after 39 years as a head coach. Who replaces Paul Maneri? That's the big question. Kendall Rogers of D1 Baseball, who is as connected as anyone in the sport, was good enough to visit with us. We did talk about Kevin O'Sullivan. We talked about some of the other hot names. But I started by asking him his reaction on the timing, really the Friday, right before the regional announcements.
Well, I mean, I have no issue with the timing. I think at the end of the day, I mean, obviously, if something like that helps your case, then you go ahead and announce it. And you had a few days off. You kind of stole the headlines a little bit. But at the end of the day, I mean, clearly, I give Paul a lot of credit, because clearly when you watch that press conference, and, you know, a lot of people are going to go, well, you know, Scott Woodward forced him out. There might be an element of truth to that. But I think when you look at Paul, I think there was a lot of honesty there. I don't know about you, but, like, getting in front of a huge group of people like that and basically admitting that you feel like you've been cheating the program the last 2 years, like, that kind of, you know, I've always respected Paul, but that's like a whole new level, man. That takes a lot to get up there and, like, admit that openly with Skip Bertman staring you in the face. And so I thought there's a lot of truth on Paul's part. Certainly there was an element of, you know, being forced out a little bit. I mean, I think that's what he's probably alluding to when he said, you know, my health, my neck, and some other things that he didn't really expand upon. But, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. And now we get ready for the you know, drama that is the LSU coaching search.
As candid and genuine a coach in any sport as I've covered here at LSU. So you're right. I mean, it surprised a lot of people, but that's just what Paul's always been. He's always been very honest. So You turn the page to the search, and I know you wrote Kevin O'Sullivan as the top candidate there. How realistic is this, Kendall?
Yeah, I think it's very realistic. I mean, obviously, I think there's some issues that need to kind of work around behind the scenes, but there's no doubt this is not a Texas, this is not an emulation of what happened with Texas, where he kind of flirted with them for a couple of days, and all of a sudden he's like, I'm good. I think this is a situation where he truly, truly is interested in the job. One thing about Sully is he's done an incredible job at Florida, but at the end of the day, no matter what Sully does at Florida, like the grand scheme of things, fans just don't care that much about Florida baseball. I mean, it stinks. I don't like it, but that's just the way it is. Well, if you're Sully and you look at a place like LSU and you're open to making one last move, you're going to a place that, like, if you don't get to Omaha, like, kids are devastated, the fans are devastated, the administration is devastated. And I think there's an element of Sully that, like, kind of wants that a little bit. And so, obviously, we all know there's some things to kind of work through, but there's no question in my mind this is very serious interest from both parties. And we'll see if LSU can seal the deal and ultimately LSU decides to go that direction. And so, I don't think we're going to find anything out anytime soon. But the only thing that kind of scares me for LSU, let's say they turn their full attention to getting this deal done. The only thing that scares me a little bit, if Florida plays for two more weeks, boy, that gives Scott Strickland at Florida, their athletic director, a lot of time to restructure his entire deal. So I would keep an eye on that.
Okay. Obviously, I think if you're LSU, the ideal situation is play for as long as the coach you want to hire plays. So that way, you could potentially name a hire 2 days after your season ends, and maybe it would be Kevin O'Sullivan. If not, I mean, Kendall, we all hear everyone throws out the names. They say Cliff Godwin, they say Mike Bianco, they say what about Tony Vitello or Jim Schlossnagel? I mean, it's the same names we hear over and over again. Do any of those hit a pressure point where you say, all right, if it's not O'Sullivan, that could be realistic?
I think Cliff and Tony are realistic. I wonder how good of a fit Tony is in Baton Rouge. But I mean, here's the thing about Tony is there are a lot of things about him I could ignore. When you look at the job that he's done at Tennessee, I mean, this is a program that was an absolute doormat. Now I kind of consider them a Fullerton of the East Coast in the sense that, like, hey, they're really good. They're a top three team in college baseball, but they play like no one thinks they're any good. And I love that. Like, I love that a coach is hard-nosed and has his kids playing like that. And so, for me, it would probably go down to Cliff Godwin if it isn't Kevin O'Sullivan. Maybe Scott Woodward had the trick up his sleeve. Maybe they're secretly courting a Tim Corbin or a Dan McDonald. But, I kind of feel like Scott is one of those people, and maybe he's going a different direction here. But you look at Kim Mulkey from day one, it was like, okay, LSU's going to go get Kim Mulkey. From day one on Jimbo Fisher, it was like November like 10th that everybody at A&M was like, okay, we're about to hire Jimbo Fisher. Like, everybody thought they were crazy, but like Scott had his guy from day one. And so the fact that, everybody's talking about Sully tells me that's his guy. So I'll be very interested to see if he has a plan after that. History would tell me that Scott does have a plan after that. But you hope he does, because this thing could get messy if he doesn't have a plan after that and Sully says no. All of a sudden, you could really be stuck in a Texas-like situation.
I'd highly recommend, if you want to follow this coaching search and really all of college baseball, subscribe up at d1baseball.com. They're just the best over there. We appreciate Kendall for a couple of minutes. If you haven't subscribed yet to the Locked On LSU podcast, of course, we always appreciate that. And remember, on the Locked On Today podcast, LeBron James, he wasn't enough for the Lakers. Are they done? Down 3-2 to the Suns. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you tomorrow for Locked On LSU, your team every day.